Good morning. Good morning. Welcome to the First Parish Church of Stowe in Acton on a beautiful and warming fall day on this Veterans Day weekend. Coffee hour follows our service in the fellowship hall. Exit through this door and go down the hall, and signs will direct you to the location. If you are a guest with us this morning, we're glad you're here and extend you a special welcome. Please take a moment when you're at coffee hour to stop by the church life table in Fellowship Hall. There you'll find our guest book and information about this congregation, as well as about Unitarian Universalism. Child care is available during the service on the lower level of Fellowship Hall, and should you need to take advantage of that, an usher can assist you in finding your way. And now I would invite you to take just a moment to greet your neighbors. If you've not met before, just say a word of introduction and a warm hello. I would like to invite members of our partner church committee to come forward and light the chalice and the candle from our partner church in Olastepec. Our different paths bring us together in this holy place. Graced by the history of our free religious heritage, let us be mindful of that call deep within to become more than we are. May this hour bring rest and renewal, comfort and challenge. May we be reminded of our highest aspirations and inspired to bring gifts of love and service to the altar of humanity. May we know once again that we are not isolated beings, but that we are connected in mystery and in wonder to each other, to this community, and to the universe. Our opening hymn is "Where Is Our Holy Church?" number 113 in the Gray Hymnal. Please rise in body and spirit for the hymn and the covenant and affirmation to follow. Please be seated. The words of our prayer this morning are by the Reverend Eric Cherry, who is the director of the International Office of the Unitarian Universalist Association. Please join me in the spirit of prayer. We come to prayer from unique places and situations. We come with doubts and disbelief as often as we come with certainty or expectation. We come with joy and hope, in fullness and gratitude, as often as we come with despair, sorrow, and helplessness. In whatever spirit you arrive at this moment, with the greater mystery that surrounds us all, let us be together. Holy One, you who are the one heart that surrounds creation, hear our prayers for peace. Hear our prayers for recovery. Hear our prayers of gratitude. Hear our prayers of need. Return to us the strength and conviction to carry our prayers beyond this sanctuary. In you there is no limit. No one is turned away. With you, we are transformed in astonishing ways. Help us to see our power, especially when we feel powerless. Guide us through uncertainty and fear into serenity and trust.
Good morning. I'm Dave Kay. I'm a co-chair of our partner church committee with Katie Weeks and members Nali Srivastava and Bob Glorioso. So as you know, in November, our non-pledge offering will be shared with our partner church in the village of Oles Telic, Romania. A year ago, April, our intern minister, Eileen Gillespie, led us on a sort of pilgrimage to the Transylvania region of Romania and our longtime partner church in the tiny village of Oles Telic. You'll find some photos on either side of me and out in the connector from this trip. There we found beautiful scenery, connections to our Unitarian roots, and a welcome that we'll never forget, as Ruth testified. There are many things that can raise eyebrows about our Unitarian Universalist faith, as you know. So when I learned that we have connections to Transylvania, I was not entirely surprised and definitely intrigued. The historical relationship is a bit too complicated to go into here, but you'll learn about some of it today from Reverend Tracy. Suffice to say that our experience was like being warmly and generously welcomed by a large family of distant relatives. The resources of the entire town had been mobilized for our visit. Our host families in Oles Telic were both Reform, which is a more Christian faith, and Unitarian. Notice that they're not Unitarian Universalists, they are Unitarians. This is the Unitarian half of our faith. We were welcomed into their homes, in some cases even given the owner's bedroom and bath, and sent off every day with a good breakfast. Our hosts wanted to hear the detail of our days when we returned, and the entire village engulfed us in warmth. As we enjoyed our new friends, it was hard to miss the poverty of many of the villagers. But on the final day, our hosts and the villagers gathered with us at a nearby place. To our surprise, we were greeted by the entire village, including the mayor, and they had prepared a beautiful outdoor banquet for us on this lovely April day. Nali glanced toward an elderly woman there who was close to 100 years old, and I believe this is the woman up here on my left or your right. Nali looked around and put a single roll into the woman looked around and put a single roll into her pocket. And one of our group noticed this and filled her bag with anything that they thought a toothless old woman could eat and gave it to her. Romania, where Transylvania is slowly recovering from communism, but the progress is slow. Our friends in Olasztelek are now doing somewhat better, according to Alpar Kis, our former partner church minister, now retired. Life for our partner church friends will improve, but very slowly. So please enjoy our display of other gifts from the partner church in the connector as you leave, and thank you for your generosity this morning in the plate offering.
In the Talmud of the Jewish tradition, the sage Hillel said, "What is hateful to you, do not do to others. This is the whole of the law. All the rest is commentary." In the Hindu legend of the Mahabharata, the divine Krishna declared, "This is the sum of duty. Do nothing unto others which would cause you pain if done to you. It is written, it is taught. May it be so." In the Gospel of Matthew, in the Christian scriptures, the Messiah, Jesus, says, "Whatever you wish that others would do to you, do so to them." In the Buddhist text of the Udanavarga, the student is urged, "Hurt not others in ways that you yourself would find hurtful. It is written, it is taught. May it be so." In the Muslim hadith of al-Nawawi, The Prophet Muhammad teaches, no one of you is a believer until he desires for his brother that which he desires for himself. In the Daisheng Treatise of Taoism, the seeker is instructed, regard your neighbor's gain as your gain, and your neighbor's loss as your own loss. It is written, it is taught, may it be so. In the ancient wisdom of Shinto, there is a saying, the heart of the person before you is a mirror. See there your own form. The Oglala Lakota spiritual leader Black Elk wrote, all things are our relatives. What we do to everything, we do to ourselves. It is written, it is taught, may it be so. In every place, the preachers shall preach and explain the gospel, each according to his understanding of it. And if the congregation like it, well, if not, no one shall compel them, for their souls would not be satisfied. But they shall be permitted to keep a preacher whose teaching they approve. No one shall be reviled for his religion by anyone, and it is not permitted that anyone should threaten anyone else by imprisonment, for faith is the gift of God. In the year 1568, King John Sigismund II of Hungary, which is now Transylvania and part of Romania, encouraged and supported by his court preacher and Unitarian minister Francis David, who, it should be noted, took a religious journey from Catholicism to Lutheranism to Calvinism to Unitarianism. King John, in 1568, issued the Act of Religious Tolerance and Freedom of Conscience, the Edict of Torda. The words that I read just a moment ago were the words of that edict. It extended unprecedented religious freedom to Catholics, Lutherans, Calvinists, and Unitarians, and to a significant but lesser degree to Jews, Muslims, and Eastern Orthodox Catholics. A decade earlier, King John's mother, Queen Isabella, had taken a similar action, issuing a declaration of unprecedented tolerance. When John Sigismund issued his edict, Europe had begun to experience some relief from the religious-based violence that had come with the years of the Reformation and immediately following. Still, during the time of King John, religious violence was abundantly evident. The Inquisition was in full force in Spain as Jews and Muslims were ordered to convert to Catholicism or leave the country. And in France, Catholics and Protestant Huguenots were waging all-out war. 4 years prior to the Queen's decree, Unitarian leader Michael Servetus had been burned at the stake in Geneva for his denial of the doctrine of the Trinity. Juxtapose now this centuries-old moment, these moments that are part of our history, with this. For 450 years, the Transylvanian Unitarian Church has been denied religious freedom and freedom of conscience. It has been denied them by other religious leaders, by Romanian nationalists who despised Hungarian language and culture, and by the force of communism. The Reverend Eric Cherry writes that, quote, as dangerous as being actively Unitarian has often been in Transylvania over centuries, the people held on. Transylvanian Unitarians learned what it means to sacrifice for their faith, that the existence of Unitarianism is worth fighting for, worth suffering for, and sometimes worth dying for. Though the Edict of Toleration gave preferential treatment to some religions over others, it names what has become as much the center of Unitarian Universalism in our day as anything is, and that's tolerance. Tolerance not as passive acceptance or simply putting up with something or someone, but a tolerance that calls us to sing out, many windows, one light, many waters, one sea, all lifted hearts are free. And that edict from centuries ago still points to things on which we rely today. Faith is not accountable to a government, but to the sacred and the holy. A free pulpit and a free pew are necessities for a free religious community. And resisting authoritarianism in any form is religious practice. Those who wrote the founding documents for this nation, for the United States, shared the sentiments of Queen Isabella, her son the king, and his court preacher, declaring that the separation of church and state was essential for this nation to thrive. In the year 1790, President George Washington wrote these words, "All possess alike liberty of conscience and immunity of citizenship. For happily, the government of the United States, which gives to bigotry no sanction, to persecution no assistance, requires only that they who live under its protection should demean themselves as good citizens." Washington was addressing the members of America's oldest synagogue, the Touro Synagogue in Newport, Rhode Island, where his letter is read aloud every August to this day. In closing his letter, Washington wrote specifically to the Jews a phrase that applies in these days to Muslims as well. "May the children of the stock of Abraham who dwell in this land continue to merit and enjoy the goodwill of the other inhabitants, while everyone shall sit in safety under his own vine and fig tree, and there shall be none to make him afraid." if only, to bigotry, no sanction, to persecution, no assistance. Some of us may remember in 1960, then Catholic presidential candidate John F. Kennedy felt compelled to make a major speech declaring his loyalty was to America and not the Pope. More recently, in the 2008 Republican primary campaign, Mormon candidate Mitt Romney felt compelled to address suspicions still directed toward the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Antisemitism is with us still. Instances abound in echoes and images from the Nazi regime. And earlier this year, the courts intervened to halt the president's travel ban targeting immigrants from 6 majority Muslim countries. On October 6th of this year, United States Attorney General Jeff Sessions issued guidance for federal agencies about how they should protect religious freedom. The Southern Poverty Law Center summed up that guidance this way. It rolls back the rights of the most vulnerable members of our society, including LGBT people, by saying virtually nothing about how the invocation of religious exemptions can cause real harm to real people. It invites taxpayer-funded agencies, government employees, government contractors, and government grant recipients to discriminate against LGBT people as long as they cite a religious reason for doing so. Religious freedom and religious tolerance cannot be a cover for discrimination, an excuse for denial of rights, a reason for lack of compassion, or a rationale for physical harm. Nor may this freedom and this tolerance be diminished or revoked by executive branch subterfuge. We take a rightful pride in the part of our history told in the edicts issued by Queen Isabella and King John. We honor the faithfulness and struggle of our Unitarian kin in Romania. And it is now ours, in these critical times, to practice this part of what it means to be human. This religious freedom and religious tolerance, this persistent faithfulness. And there is no better place for such practice than right here, where we are people of diverse religious backgrounds, and some of us would claim none at all, where we are people of diverse religious identities and diverse religious expressions, right here. Many windows, one light. Many waters, one sea. All lifted hearts are free. No one shall be reviled for their religion. So may it be. Friends, our closing hymn invites us to sing of freedom. Let freedom span both east and west, number 148 in the gray hymnal. I invite you to rise in body, in spirit. Thank you. With thanks to the Reverend Judith Meyer, these are the words of benediction. This is what we do with our faith. Live in the world knowing that we will lose each other. Love despite the hard bargain it demands of us. Do what we can so that truth may be safely lived. Measure our faith by the difference we have made. Build up faith communities to continue long after we are gone.